In verse 5, it talks about the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And we talked about the inner working of the Spirit, bearing witness with our spirit directly and causing our inner being to sense and to know by the power of faith that God sent His Son out of love for us. And that love flows in, shed abroad. It means torrents. It means the pouring in of amazing grace into our hearts.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. Here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, we have one of those most precious statements. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This really is the miracle of God coming down to dwell within our hearts in the person of the Holy Spirit. God the Father planned our redemption, the Lord Jesus purchased our redemption, and the Holy Spirit applies it by personally indwelling our hearts. And today, as we look at this book of Romans and the subject of our assurance, we want to contemplate the love of God. When I preached this message in our congregation, it was Communion Sunday, and believers who walk with the Lord take the cup and the bread to show forth their faith in the crosswork of the Lord Jesus. It is a very precious time for Christians to join together and to obey the Lord's command, taking their communion. By taking the cup and taking the bread, we eat that bread, we drink the juice within the cup, and we obey the Lord in His command to remember by these physical signs which stimulate each of our minds and hearts and stimulates our very senses as we are brought to encounter and face to face with the reality of our suffering Savior. And in it all is this amazing love of God. How can we comprehend it, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life? Well, and by our natures, we will never comprehend it. By our own minds, we could never take it in. But that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to enlighten and to enable us to take it in that God sent His Son to save our souls. And today in this message, I'll be emphasizing substitution, the taking of our place, the instead of me sacrifice of the Lord Jesus as He died upon that cross. And I hope that today that you'll stay tuned right through the message as we go to the cross to preach the love of God displayed in the death of His own Son.
Father, we humble ourselves, we bow at Your wonderful throne of grace, and we sing Amazing Grace. Who can take this in? Who can understand that the God of all glory would send His Son to take our place and suffer, to take our hell, that we might be in heaven? We pray today for help to preach these verses in Romans 5, that we may understand what the Bible teaches of the love of God in sending His Son. Bless every heart. Speak to the boys and girls. May they learn the glory and the wonder of the Lord Jesus hanging on a cross, bearing our sins. Oh God, reveal these things to us. Open our hearts and minds. And now give help. Give unction. Touch this voice of mine and undertake for me today. In our Savior's name. Amen. Well, if anybody's been praying for a short sermon, this might be your opportunity. We shall see how it goes. I will make no promises, but as the Lord enables. Marvelously and wonderfully, on this Communion Sunday, we come to some of the triumphant verses of Scripture, which deal with God sending His Son. Here in Romans 5, and verses 6, 7, and 8, it tells us here, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This communion table is a love feast. It is not a glutton's feast. There's not much food to be had. A little tiny piece of bread, a little tiny glass of red juice, but it is intended to help us to take it in, the wonder of it all, that on that cross, a suffering Savior, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal second person of the Trinity, united in a human body by the miracle of an incarnation in Mary's womb, by the wicked, cruel hands of men, taken to that cross and crucified. The most torturous method of death that man could concoct. But more than that, behind the cross is God. We must not think that our Lord Jesus came into the world and decided to suffer that He might change God's mind. No, it was the will of God. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the weight of His suffering was coming upon Him, He prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." It was the Father's will that His Son, the Lord Jesus, suffer upon that tree and die in the sinner's place. And in this is displayed the love of God. Now I want you to get the connection between verse 5 and verse 8, where you see the word love in both verses. In verse 5, it talks about the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And we talked about the inner working of the Spirit, bearing witness with our spirit directly, and causing our inner being to sense and to know by the power of faith that God sent His Son out of love for us. And that love flows in, shed abroad. It means torrents. It means the pouring in of amazing grace into our hearts. And then down in verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth His love toward us." And so behind the cross is God's heart of love. Behind the cross is God's eternal purpose to set His love upon sinners, you and me, to choose us in spite of our sins, not because of our goodness. And you can't read these verses and not see this. It's not because we were good. It's not because we were strong. But when we were ungodly, and that means the opposite to godly. It means we were not godlike. In fact, we were infected by sin, totally corrupted by sin, disfigured. Although man was created in God's image, he is totally disfigured. At our men's prayer meeting, I was going over some of these things with our men, as we like to do on a Saturday night before communion service. And I remembered the story of the King of England. And he was visiting a veterans' home of war vets. And many of them were without limbs. Some of them were blinded. Some of them were disfigured. Some were living lives of horrendous pain and misery. And so the king visited to show his thankfulness for what they had done for the nation. And after he had concluded his tour, he said to the staff, "Now have I visited everyone? Is there any possible that I've left someone out?" And they said to him, "Well, there's one, and he's in an exclusive room, but I don't think you should visit him. It's too hard, it's too difficult." But the king insisted that he would go and visit this very disfigured and suffering man. And so he went into that room, and there was a man that hardly looked like a human at all. But he insisted that he would also visit him. I think that's commendable. I think that that is a display of appreciation and love. When God looks upon sinners, he wants to see beauty. He wants to see holiness as is in his own heart and life. God looks for those attributes of perfection. But since the fall of man, when God looks upon the sons of Adam, he sees disfigurement. He sees corruption, pollution, guilt, shame, horror. And remember that God is so holy that he cannot look upon sin. God is so perfectly holy, it says, that he cannot even look into the heavens. That's beyond me. God is so holy. And yet, in this plan of redemption, God commendeth. He promoted, he advanced his love toward sinners. With all the ugliness of sin and all the crime of sin, he so loved us. Romans 5:6 has been called the John 3:16 of the New Testament epistles. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." So I'm not sure if I'm going to preach all this today or not, but I want to give you the headings at least. And firstly, we have the grace behind the love of God. Look at the word "given" in verse 5. This love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. By nature, we do not have the Spirit of God. Sin drives God out of our lives. The Holy Spirit does not dwell in the hearts of sinful men. But once we become Christians and the children of God, and we are born again, the Holy Spirit dwells within. But he's a gift. He's given unto us. And so we have learned that this gospel that we rejoice in is Trinitarian. God the Father sought us for salvation. God the Son bought us at the cross. God the Holy Spirit wrought this power of salvation within our souls. And it, the work of the redemption is the work of the Trinity. God is not reluctant to save sinners. It's his plan. It's his decretive purpose. It is his yearning. Indeed, it must take place because God has determined it to be. He has covenanted that he will build his church. He will call out a people that one day they will be brought right into glory, to heaven. And this plan is underway and is being fulfilled. And so you can see that Christ did not come, he did not live, work, suffer to change the mind of God. And that's something we need to get fixed in our hearts today. This way of salvation, this plan of redemption, is full of harmony. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are united totally in this plan. Now, in Romans 5, 6, we have this wonderful statement of God's love for us. You see that little word for? F-O-R. Did you know that whole books of theology have been written about that little word? Because in the Greek language, it's a very specific term. It is the word hooper. And H-U-P-E-R in the Greek language. If you transliterate the letters of Greek into English, that's the word you'd get, H-U-P-E-R. And it means in the place of. In the stead of. And so on this is based the whole wonderful scheme that Christ died at the cross, not just to change God's mind, not just to make an impression, but he took our place. He was the Lamb of God that stood in where we should have been. Because the verse says we were without strength. We could never do it. We could never build up works, religion, acceptance with God. We were without strength. And this is one of the primary things that happens when you come to know the gospel. You begin to realize just how sinful and vile and hopeless you are in the sight of God. And without a rescue mission, we would have no hope whatsoever. And so the gospel is indeed a rescue mission. And the reason for Christ's death is that God placed his love and desired to save our very souls. Inability. That's the problem. Man is unable, incapable. We are not saved by the works of the flesh. The Bible is very, very clear about that. It is absolutely vital. And the more we grasp the inability of man, our horrid disfigurement in the sight of a holy God, the more the love of God is amazing. How can it be? Why would he have any interest in us whatsoever? On what basis did God set out to redeem and purchase us? Why would he do it at such cost in sending his Son? And as we ruminate and ponder these things, we're just blown away. It's amazing. Amazing grace. And so we see here in these verses the wonder of our redemption. But grace is not cheap. Some people think, well, that's wonderful. You're forgiven, you're pardoned, off you go. But grace is not cheap. It is at Christ's expense. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And he must suffer, pour out his blood on that cruel cross. Now that's my major point coming up here, so I don't want to get ahead of myself here. The price of God's love toward us. Maybe if I don't preach much else, if I'd like to just hone in on this here at this point. Verse 6 says, Christ died for the ungodly. In the place of. As a substitute for. Christ died for us. Now the price seen is in the person that must come to die for us. It was not a mere human, but it needed to be one who was God and one who was united to humanity. And so in the fullness of time, God sent forth this child born of a woman made under the law, made in our likeness, that he would be God and man in one person, that he would have all divine, infinite power and perfection, that he would have all the qualities of humanity and sinless. God demanded a sacrifice that would be spotless. And God sent his Son. He's the one. He was precious to the Father. He's his only beloved Son. And yet God loved us so much that he would send his own Son to that cross. The Lord Jesus expounded on this in the parable of the vineyard, where the owner sent his servants for the fruits and the rewards of the vineyard to be gathered in. But when the master sent the servants, they mocked them and beat them. And repeatedly he sent various servants to go and gather the fruits of the garden. And then he concluded, I will send my Son. They will reverence him. But even him they killed. And this is the story of the cross. God in the Old Testament sent many preachers and prophets. Jeremiah, how they abused him. Put him into a pit and tormented him. Ezekiel, he was set aside. And many others they even crucified or put to death. And still God sent his Son. Why? To prove, to display how much he loves us. Even the price of sending his own Son. The price is seen in that substitutionary nature of our salvation. God wanted to teach and display the truth of Jesus' death. And it's in that aspect of a substitution. And my dear listener today, you will never understand how God loves sinners until you really get a hold of substitution. This reality that on that cross, in the suffering and the blood shedding, the agony and the crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the answer is Jesus was in our place. A substitute in our stead. And when you realize that the focus, the plan was to save your soul, and if there had been nobody else in the world, God would have sent his Son to die for you, personally, individually. And that's why we can preach, it was my sins that nailed the Lord to the cross. It was my transgressions that were laid on him. And that's why we can say, as Isaiah said it, by his stripes we are healed, because of the whole method of substitution. And I want you to take that to heart today, as you take the cup and the bread, as you remember the Lord's love and death for you, and as you look into the redness of the cup, would you please see the suffering, agonizing, bleeding of the Savior for your salvation. And then as you take the bread, now I very often, and I know originally when the Lord instituted the communion, that it was like one loaf, and it was broken, and just tore pieces off. Some people insist in doing that today. I wouldn't argue with that. But if I was to serve it today with this cold I have, I'm not sure if there would be many communicants. This is a more sanitized version of letting everyone choose their own piece of bread. But the bread represents that body. You see, God without a body couldn't suffer. It's impossible for God to suffer because he's spirit. To suffer, to become a sacrifice, to become our Savior. And they called his name Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. And that announcement was made at the incarnation when Christ was formed in Mary's womb. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. But he couldn't be Jesus, our Savior, unless he took a body. And in that body to suffer and bleed. And as we look at that bread, we must see that very body, and that he took our place.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.